Now there's a fifth aspect, and that is the kirtans, which are very nice to do with all of you. Usually in the kirtan melas we have to encourage the audience, chant louder, but this is not necessary here. Chant from your heart is also not necessary. You are really with the holy name, it's very nice. So today in the evening we have requested our Sankirtan Prabhu to contribute to the Gaura Lila immersion with a pastime he will tell us about. Sankirtan Prabhu is a very long-term residence, a long-standing resident of New Vrindavan. In fact, he was there from the very beginning and did very various services. But as he became older, he specializes on narrating pastimes of Krishna. He's, by his own profession, a narrator. He's invited by schools to give presentations on various narration. And he's also an author. He's written a very fascinating book on the Mahabharata, very, very nice. And since quite some time we share, let me say, a very friendly relationship, because I think both of us like to enter the world of Katha, the world of storytelling. His house must be passed by every one of us. It's a house on the hill where Srila Prabhupada stayed. It's a pilgrimage site, and I once was in that house and felt the good influence of Prabhupada's visit still there. So I would like to now hand over the microphone to Sankirtan Prabhu and invite you to listen very carefully and attentively. I once again want to say, although children, see, we have made special efforts to have the most fascinating children camp, and it is good if the parents take advantage of this children camp during this the time. Good. Fine, so let us welcome our Sankirtan Prabhu by very loudly applauding.
You know, sometime in the near future, we'll have to have a program on the front lawn of that house. Because Prabhupada, every evening, he gave darshan right on the front lawn. There are many famous pictures. And so I bring people up. And so if you ever, you know, don't hesitate to contact me. I'd be happy to bring you up. It's right past the palace. But today I'll share a story. Actually, storytelling is taking a revival here in America and around the world. People are going back to very basic things, and storytelling is one of them. There's a lot of storytelling organizations in the United States and all over the world, even in India. But the Vaishnavas, we have a very close connection to the Katha, to Krishna Katha and Ram Katha and the stories. And so very often we're not even aware how close of a connection that we have with the story. And the story that I'd like to share with you tonight is about the Kali Yuga. And the Kali Yuga, you know, this is going on a downward spiral. But if you are familiar with stories and literature, one of the things is that when there's a course in the story, there comes a point, it's called a plot point. And so this plot point takes you in another direction. And in any good book, There's usually several very important plot points, but there's also many minor plot points. So tonight we'll have to discuss the plot point of the Kali Yuga, which is a major plot point, the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so we begin with Advaitacharya. He sees, he looks out across the surface of the world, and he sees so many calamities going on. People are troubled with disease, with plagues and cheating, and so many horrible things that are perpetrating in this world. And so he goes to the bank of the Ganges, and he mixes together a little tulsi leaves and Ganges water in a bowl, and he offers this. You all know why he offers the tulsi leaves and the Ganges water. Because Krishna, when he sees this offering with love and devotion, he thinks to himself, there is nothing that I have in my possession that can equal this offering. What can I do? I can only give myself in return. And so Advaitacharya is making this offering. Actually, I was thinking that we can all assume the role of Advaitacharya together, and we can make this offering together, and it'll be much more powerful. And I'll say it, everyone can repeat. But first, collect a little bit of Ganges water and tulsi leaves and settle into that mood of Advaitacharya. And I'll say it, and you can repeat. Oh my Lord!
Oh my Lord!
Let me petition you in humbleness.
Let me petition you in humbleness.
Let me worship you with a pure heart.
Let me worship you with a pure heart.
Oh Krishna!
Oh Krishna!
Oh Master of Religion!
Oh Master of Religion!
Protector of Dharma!
Protector of Dharma!
You dwell in the vision and hearing of your devotees.
You dwell in the vision and hearing of your devotees.
You also live in their lotus-like hearts.
You also live in their lotus-like hearts.
Please show them your special favor.
Please show them your special favor.
And manifest yourself.
And manifest yourself.
In this age of Kali.
In this age of Kali.
To guide us on the path of loving devotion.
To guide us on the path of loving devotion.
And so in this way, Advaitacharya, he prayed. He put aside his bowl of Ganges water and tulsi leaves. And by, a divine child was born in the house of Sachi, Mother Sachi, Jagannath Mishra. And that child, he was born under a neem tree. And so he's called Nimai. And he was also a child prodigy. He was a great, great scholar, even at an early age, and therefore he was called Pandit, Nimai Pandit. And so even by the time he was 12 or 14 years old, he had students, he had a school, he was lecturing and giving guidance in grammar and logic and how to use words, how to use verbs and adjectives. Unfortunately, his father passed away at an early age. Nimai Pandit was only 9 years old. And later in life, by the time he was 17, he decided to go to Gaya. This is the tradition, to go to Gaya to offer oblations to the forefathers, to honor his own father. And so in this way, Nimai Pandit and several of his students, they set out on their journey. And finally they came to Gaya, and there Lord Chaitanya, he met the master of his life, Ishwarapuri. Actually, he had met Ishwarapuri earlier. Ishwarapuri had come to Mayapur. He and Advaitacharya are both the disciples of Madhavendrapuri. And so Ishwarapuri had heard of the great scholarship of Nimai Pandit. And he came to Nimai Pandit with a manuscript. Ishwara Puri was writing a manuscript on Krishna Leela. And he asked Nimai Pandit, please, you're a great scholar. Of course, Nimai Pandit is much, much younger than Ishwara Puri at this time. But he asked him, you're a great scholar. Please, take a look at my manuscript. See if everything's all right. Maybe there are a few faults. Correct those faults. Please help me. And Nimai Pandit, he didn't want to touch the manuscript. Actually, he said, no, I can't do this. Because if only a great sinner would want to find fault with a Vaishnava who is glorifying Krishna. Please, don't put me in this position. And so he declined. Nimai Pandit declined. And now, in Gaya, Nimai Pandit fell at the feet of Ishwara Puri. And he said, please, lift me up from this world of birth and death. I and whatever I have, my body, anything that I have is yours. Do with it as you like. Ishwara Puri smiled. He initiated him into the Mahamantra. A little while later, Nimai Pandit, now Chaitanya, he came back. And he petitioned his guru. He said, I don't know what type of mantra you've given me. Whatever I chant, my body begins to tremble. My hairs stand on end. Tears squirt out of my eyes. Sometimes I fall on the ground and I'm rolling around in the dirt. And sometimes I laugh uncontrollably like a madman. So here's this dilemma that Chaitanya had. Ishwara Puri was smiling all the time. Actually, I'm curious about, you know, I know many of you are probably too humble to have the tears flowing while you're chanting the holy name, but everybody likes to laugh. So let's try this little thing. Everybody have a big smile. Get as big, as broad of a smile as you can. And start, yeah, get that laughter going a little bit. Shake that body too. Start some sort of a new movement with the laughing of the holy name. But Ishwara Puri, he was smiling. And he said, my dear boy, you have perfected your life. All of the goals, all of the successes, and all of the great achievements and accomplishments of this world are like a drop of water compared to the vast ocean of devotional service. And my child, you have perfected your life, and now go out and give that holy name to others. Actually, I know who you are. You are no Nimai Pandit. You are the king of Vaikuntha. And you are capable of living, saving countless living entities. And so in this way, Chaitanya, he returns to Mayapur. And now he's a God-intoxicated personality. Once again, his grammar students come together. And now, Chaitanya, Hare Krishna. Chaitanya, now he teaches grammar, but he teaches that every syllable and every vowel, every verb and every adjective is related to Krishna, shows Krishna. And so all of the devotees in Navadvipa are swimming with ecstasy. They gathering every evening, chanting the holy name, especially in the house of Shivas Thakur and other places. At that time, it was only by invitation. No outsiders could come. Only the devotees chanting together in an intimate mood. But not everyone was happy about this. The local governor, Chan Kazi, He received many complaints, especially from the Shmata Brahmins. The Brahmins came to him. This Nimai Pandit, he started his own religious cult. We don't know what to do. He's chanting so loudly that every night they're banging the kartals and they're banging the drums. We don't know what to do. This is awful. Because the name of God is sacred. No commoner is supposed to chant the holy name. It's only for us Brahmins in the temple. How dare Nimai Pandit do this? He will destroy the entire city of Navadvip if this is allowed to go on. And so the Chankazi, he was hearing all of these complaints that chanting was going on all night long. It was going on so loudly they couldn't even sleep. God couldn't even sleep at night with the loud chanting going on. And so later on, Chankazi was walking and he hears the chanting. And he barges into the house. He tries to stop them. I can picture the scene. They're chanting so loudly. The devotees are in ecstasy, totally oblivious to the presence of Chankazi. He has to do something radical to get their attention. He rips a drum out of somebody's hands and he smashes it to the ground. Now he has everyone's attention. And he tells them, who has given you permission to chant this holy name? This city of Navadvip happens to be under my authority. And I never gave anybody permission to do this Hare Krishna chanting. Today, I'll excuse the offense. But the next time I see someone engaged in this chanting business, I won't be so lenient. I'll confiscate all of your property and I'll force you to become Muslims. And so now the devotees were reeling in anxiety and they approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so he devised a plan. 500 years before Martin Luther King Jr., 500 years before Mahatma Gandhi, the chanting of the holy name was the basis of this, the first documented civil disobedient mass non-violent demonstration. And Lord Chaitanya gathered all the devotees together. There were three different parties. So let's try this. We'll have three different parties. This section of the room is one party. The middle section of the room is the second party, and you guys over there, you're the third party, and we need a little bit of madangas and kartals over here. Everybody get ready. And so what we'll do, because you have to really pay attention to the holy name, you have to keep it attentive on your lips, because the chanting is going to go on, but the different parties are going to be chanting at different times. So we'll see if we can center our attention on the holy name. Got the kartals ready? Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Wait. We're going to do it one at a time. I'm going to designate when I point to the group, you guys start. And it's going to be, actually, I didn't mention, it's going to be, once you guys start, it's not going to be responsive. You are just chanting the name, and then I'm going to designate the second group. And they begin chanting. It's not responsive. Keep chanting. And the third group. And so I'm going to designate these at different intervals. And we'll see which group keeps fixed on the holy name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna
Show them this way. Show them this way. The kirtan parties made their way from one neighborhood into another, and more people were gathering, joining the kirtan. Pretty soon there were thousands and thousands of people engaged in the chanting of the holy name. But there was no Qazi to stop them. But finally, they came to the Qazi's house. And there, by and by, the Qazi came out. And you know, Chaitanya, he asked the Qazi three very famous questions, which I'm not going to tell you. You will have to look at that chapter yourself. I'm going to talk about the last question that Chaitanya asked Chan Qazi, because they had a little discussion, and after a time, then Chaitanya asked, you know, we were chanting all night long, but, and you had threatened, a couple of days ago you had threatened to stop the chanting, but you didn't come out to stop the chanting. We were waiting for you, we were looking for you in every neighborhood to pop up and yell and scream and stop the chanting. Why? Why didn't you come out into the streets to stop the chanting of the holy name? And so Chan Qazi, he is a little embarrassed. He said, can we talk privately? Oh no, these men, and these are all my confidential associates. Whatever you have to say to me, you can say to them. And so Chan Qazi, he explained that the other night he had a dream. And in this dream, a very strange creature appeared to him in this dream. It pounced on his chest. The creature was half man, half lion, with paws and nails. And the lion told Chan Qazi, you broke the drum, didn't you? You threatened my devotees. You forbade them to chant the holy name, didn't you? And Qazi's trembling in his boots. Please, please, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me. Don't hurt me! The creature says, because you were lenient with my devotees, tonight I'm going to be lenient with you. I'm not going to harm you. But the next time you try to stop the chanting of the holy name, I'm going to come back. I'm going to kill you and your family and all the meat eaters. The Lord is pretty heavy. And then, Chan Qazi said, just before he left, he scratched my chest with his nails, and then he disappeared from sight. And the strange thing is, when I woke up that morning, I had the nails scratched on my chest, and he opens his shirt to show all of the devotees the scratch marks from Lord Nrisimhadev. And when the devotees see these scratch marks as a manifestation of the Lord, what do they do? Another what we call plot point in our story of this downward spiral of the Kali Yuga. But by and by, and I'd like to end, I don't want to take up too much time, but I'd like to end with Chaitanya. Later on, he implores the devotees. He says to them, just as a large fig tree bears fruit all over its body, so the tree of devotion also bears fruit And when that fruit ripens, it is as sweet as nectar. All the wealth in the world cannot even pay for one such ripened fruit of devotion. But I'm the only gardener. I'm all alone. How can I pick so many fruits? How can I distribute them all by myself? I need some help. And therefore, I call upon each and every one of you to pick up these ripened fruits of devotion and pass them out handful after handful. Give them out freely to anyone and everyone. Don't consider who asks or who doesn't ask. Don't consider who is fit or who is not fit. Give this ripened fruit freely, handful after handful, and let us wipe out birth, death, disease, old age, and death amongst the conditioned souls. And so in this way, my story has come full circle. Because in the beginning of the story, Advaitacharya is petitioning the Lord to come into this world. And at the end of my story, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is petitioning each and every one of us to take up this Krishna consciousness, to take up this mission of chanting the holy name and giving it out freely, handful after handful after handful. This holy name, Hari Nama, Hari Nama, Hari Nama, Deva Kevala, Kala Nasdeva, 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 Gatir Amrita. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you so much.
Thank you so very much. It was really wonderful to hear both your delivery and also your content, that you took us on that wonderful journey of Advaitacharya asking the Lord to descend, and then the Lord turning to all of us and asking us to do our part and sharing Krishna consciousness for the benefit. I would like to pick up with my little Gaurakatha here where you ended. There was actually one festival which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inaugurated, which was a festival which was so important to him and his movement that he overstepped all traditions. It was a festival which has a very deep message to all of us, a message which is necessary for us to understand in order to become worthy messengers, worthy servants of Mahaprabhu's message. That is to purify our own hearts. I would like to tell you about this extraordinary festival, the Gundicham Marjana Festival, the festival of cleansing the Gundicha temple. In Jagannath Puri, there is one temple. It is 3 to 5 kilometers down the road. It is a hidden temple, It has a large garden, and next to it is a temple to Lord Nrsingadev. This temple is vacant for all, practically all days of the year, except for a few days when the procession of Lord Jagannath, which has come from the main temple down the big road, ends at the end of that road. At that time, Lord Jagannath becomes Lord Jagat Bandhu. The Lord of the universe becomes the friend of the universe. All his devotees can climb like little ants up the Rathayata cart, and they can come and embrace Lord Jagannath, who's usually only to be touched by trained priests, by Brahmin priests. But on that day, all the devotees come like ants over the Rathayata car and somehow manage. I don't know why the cars don't break. It must be Lord Jagannath who keeps them in their structure. But they can come and embrace. Who has embraced Lord Jagannath of you? Oh, good number. Good numbers. Were you a little afraid when you went up the cart? I was so afraid it would break, you know. So, yes, on that day, the Lord of the universe embraces his devotees as the friend of the universe. And then, on the next day, he disappears into this little mystical temple, the Gundicha temple, and stays with his brother and sister on the altar. So before the Lord can come on that altar, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arranged all his devotees to cleanse that temple from the inside and the outside. He first asked Kashi Mishra, the superintendent of the temple, for jarus, or little, this sign means make the music softer. He took the broom, he asked for brooms, which were used to cleanse the temple from the dirt. And Mahaprabhu himself took jaru, it's called a small broom, like this, small brush, and went into the temple and outside the temple to sweep the dust together. And then after he and his devotees had become street sweepers with the jaru, Lord Chaitanya said, let's have a little competition and see whose pile is of dirt is the biggest. And his pile was bigger than the collective pile of all the other devotees together. He said, those who have not collected so much dirt, they need to pay a fine in sweet cakes. What was very amazing for the devotees to see, that Lord Chaitanya was so absolutely enthusiastic when he was bending down on the road with that jaru and taking all the straw, the dirt, maybe little pieces of paper, and piling them up. No one is normally enthusiastic when they clean something like this. But Mahaprabhu covered his whole beautiful golden body with dust. If you look at this image of Mahaprabhu, he doesn't look like an typical street sweeper. He looks absolutely transcendental and beyond. Then Mahaprabhu said, now this was the first cleansing. We need to do a second cleansing. And he ordered his devotees to gather clay pots, go to the nearby Indradyumna lake and capture or get water from the lake, and then throw the water on the columns and the walls and the altar of the temple, to even remove the smallest grains of dust which still had remained after the first cleaning. And again, the devotees were amazed how enthusiastic Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was engaged in this cleaning activity. In fact, what they saw is that he went himself on the altar, kneeling down on the podest, on the dais, and crying so intensely that the tears which squirted out of his eyes like water from a syringe cleansed the marble altar. And he took his uttariya, that's the upper part of a sannyasi's cloth, and he rubbed with his own cloth the dirt away from the altar. Many small pastimes took place, but I want to ask you the question, why was Lord Chaitanya so absolutely enthusiastic to clean the temple? It was because with this action, which in a way is the only symbolic Leela which I know about, he pointed out to something beyond the immediate cleaning of the building. He pointed out to a must or the most important project of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, that is to cleanse the heart. There are two types of cleansing which is necessary, and maybe it is because there is not sufficient knowledge about these two parts of cleansing that some of us, even though we practice for a longer time the process of Krishna consciousness, don't feel bliss in our heart. The first type of cleansing is the gross cleansing. The second type of cleansing is the more subtle cleansing. In the gross cleansing, symbolized by the jaru, the brooms, and taking the dust and the dirt away, the first cleansing is when we become enthusiastic to cleanse our materialistic mentality from selfish enjoyment. We do not any longer eat meat. We do not have illicit sexual relationships. We do not intoxicate ourselves, nor do we gamble. By this, the gross attachments to the material world and sense gratifications are stopped. But there is a second cleansing necessary. The cleansing which Mahaprabhu symbolized by throwing the water from the clay pots over the walls and the altar. And that is the cleansing from six weeds which grow in the garden of the heart next to the Bhakti Lata, the devotional creeper. It's first of all the thing of being violent or angry towards other living beings, jiva hingsa. Then there is a kutinati, that is diplomatic behavior. And then there is nisidacha, that is activities which are really unacceptable for someone on the spiritual path. But then there is something which we are all tuned in since our birth. It's the what's in for me mentality. It rhymes even, what's in for me mentality. It's the desire for personal gain in practicing spiritual life. It's a desire to become recognized as an important person, a desire for fame, and desire for pridefulness. These are more subtle things which then need to be cleansed away. But if a devotee is willing to go through these two types of cleansing, then the altar of his heart becomes a suitable place to receive Lord Jagannath, the Lord of the universe. I've written something down from Srila Prabhupada's purport to this Leela. In order to wash the heart, there are two things which one should do according to Prabhupada's teachings. One is, one should chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And the second is the Bhagavatam method. One should regularly hear Svakata, the talk about Krishna's wonderful pastimes. These are two activities by which we can wash our hearts. And although this is a holy name retreat, I want to inspire and encourage you to have not only the chanting of the holy name going on in your life, please also read the Bhagavatam regularly, because Prabhupada once said, if you don't read my books for some time, after some time there will be no more Haribol, Haribol, Haribol. This foundation needs to be there in hearing the Bhagavatam. And Prabhupada writes so nice, once the heart is cleansed, we should invite Krishna to sit down there. We should distribute prasadam to everyone. It's a festival, and we are very, very happy. At the end of this Gora Katha, which really the main katha was given today by our Sankirtan Prabhu, which I enjoyed very, very much. Prabhu, you have given great happiness to our hearts this evening. I just want my katha to be a little footnote to this. If we want to distribute the holy name all over, if we want to become worthy recipients of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, it is important that we think of cleansing our heart. And in order to demonstrate this, by his own practical example, the Lord got on his knees and on his hands and cleansed dirtied altar of the Gundicha temple, so that Lord Jagannath could sit there on the altar. He wanted to show that all of us need to cleanse our own hearts so that Krishna feels attracted to come and sit there. And this is really what we want to learn in the living name retreat. We want to learn the sambandha, this deep, deep connection with Krishna, which comes by cleansing the heart through the regular hearing of the Bhagavatam is through the chanting with attention and affection. And then, yes, then there will be again life. Then there will be again ecstasy. Then there will be again the pleasure, the joy, the bliss, the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness, which is our birthright. That is there. In Sankirtan Prabhu's katha, I very much appreciated how Nimai Pandit, who was known as such a scholar, was not willing to correct the manuscript of Ishvara Puri, who had glorified Krishna, because he said anyone who even a little bit criticizes a devotee who glorifies Krishna is a sinner. So he didn't do that. So that's a very important aspect of Gauranga Mahaprabhu's heart cleansing process. He gives a very interesting verse which totally and encourages me in my Krishna consciousness. He said, if you chant the holy name and do not blaspheme my devotees, I will personally take you back to Godhead. It's two things, two points. Don't chant, chant. chant and don't engage in this. Really unnecessary fault-finding thing. But it ruins our life, really. And to end this evening, I would like to tell you the story of Lala Das. Lala is a devotee who had to pass a test of his spiritual master. And because he passed the test, he became known as Lala Charya, an Acharya. This was the test. Ramanujacharya called Lala and asked him, Lala, oh Lala, I want to give you one instruction. Yes, said Lala. Love the devotees 1,000 times more than Bhagavan. Lala was an honest man. He said, Guru Maharaj, I can't do this. Most probably he thought of the difficult periods with devotees. Huh? Then Ramanujacharya said, okay, Lala, then love the devotees as much as you love me. Lala again said, oh, Guru Maharaj, that's not possible for me. Oh, Lala, 2 times you have said no to me. I'm asking you a third time now. Love the devotees at least as much as you love your brother. Lala thought, I will try, Guru Maharaj. Who of you has a brother? Oh, have you noticed how your brother is sometimes getting on your nerves? But you have not stopped loving him. He's your brother. Although he gets not only on your nerves, he gets under your skin sometimes. It's so intense. I have 2 brothers who get under my skin from 2 directions at times. It is intense. But I love them. They are my brothers. So I think sometimes some devotees can also... I don't want to say it like this, but a little heavy it can become... So Lala Das said, I will try, Guru Maharaj. He went back to his village. Already the next morning he was tested. his wife came from the river where she had washed the cloth of the family and had said, Lala, there is a dead body drifting down the river. He is Kantimala. He's a Vaishnav. Oh, said Lala, it starts. If my brother dies, I am responsible for his funeral. So he went to that river. He went inside the river. Already all the people in the village were there to see him. And he took that dead body and he pulled him out of it. All the brahmanas said, how can you do this? Muchi, muchi, muchi. You don't know from which caste he is, don't you? Lala said, he's my brother. He's a Vaishnav. And he gave him a cremation. Now, in order to make a cremation successful, the brahmanas have to be fed afterwards. And Lala requested his wife to cook a good meal with various items and offer them this meal and then invite all the brahmanas of the village. But the brahmanas, they moved their nose up and said, we are not coming. As a group, we are declining to come. Lala was panicking. He was an instruction of his spiritual master. The third instruction, he had to make this funeral complete. He had to serve this Vaishnava, unknown Vaishnava, as his brother. So he went trembling to Ramanuja and said, Ramanuja, Acharya, Guru Maharaj, I can't fulfill your instruction. The brahmanas boycott my funeral. Ramanuja smiled and he did, please look at me now. He said like this, someone will come, some brahmanas will come. Go back to your village, the brahmanas will come. Lala thought it's impolite to ask Ramanujacharya for his unusual head movements. And he went back. There were no brahmanas. When he entered the village, he went to his home. All of a sudden, down the village road came 6 to 7 effulgent brahmanas. They were walking. They were chanting Vedic hymns. And they asked one villager, where's the house of Lala? Some cremation is going on and the brahmanas need to be fed. And the villager said, straight, and then first left. So these brahmanas went to the house of Lala and said, we are hungry, there's a ceremony here, a funeral ceremony, you may feed us. Lala quickly spread mats out for these venerable personalities. They ate the prasadam. They spoke in Sanskrit. They quoted shlokas. The whole villages, including the mental brahmanas, arrived and looked while these effulgent personalities ate and conversed amongst themselves. And when they were finished, Lala gave them each a little donation, and then they got up to leave. And then, my dear devotees, something happened which will never be forgotten in the Vaishnava history. The brahmanas, first of all, walked like you would walk. Then the first one started to levitate. The second began to levitate. The third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, all was floating in the air, and all of a sudden, displaying a form, four-armed form. They were Vishnu Dutas. You know everything. They were Vishnu Dutas who had come from up to down. When Ramanujacharya said, someone will come. He was referring to the exalted servants of Lord Vishnu. And after they levitated, they went into a vimana, which had come from the spiritual sky, a transcendental aircraft. And as the villagers looked on, they flew back to where they had come from, the Vaikuntha planets. From that day on, Lala became renamed as Lalacharya. He had followed or tried to follow the order of his spiritual master to see the Vaishnavas as his brother. With brothers we can disagree. With brothers we can also sometimes have differences of opinion. Brothers can sometimes get on our nerves, but they will always remain our brothers. That is their an effect which cannot be removed. And brothers must learn to solve their conflicts amiably. That means friend in a friendly way. My dear devotees, I'm telling you this in the context of preparing our hearts for an appearance of the holy name. There are these things, these first cleaning and subtle cleaning, but as important, maybe more important than this, is to serve the Vaishnavas as you would do a brother. To forgive them when they are brotherly sharp with you, and to not give up on the sincere attempt to serve Vaishnavas, whatever they do, however they act, and so on. That will prepare the heart and make it a place for the holy name to appear. I would like to now end this katha with just 10 minutes of chanting, and then we will see if the surprise will happen or not. I need to look discreetly to the organizers of the surprise. Wherever they are, please see if it will happen or not. Hare Krishna. I think so. Yeah, it will happen. But Avishtata, first we need to sing, no? Good. So Avishtata is giving us hope. Jai Krishna, would you please come for a second? Please come here. We will speak in German. No one of you will hear anything. It's not for your ears. Hare Krishna, please settle. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna,
there, just there.
Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna,
time, please. Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Hare
Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare. Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare. Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.